everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. Have you ever gazed into the sky and wondered what it would be like to look at Earth from space? Now, of course, we can see pictures, but imagine actually being there in person and seeing it firsthand. It's got to be an amazing experience. And of course, there are astronauts who have and do see that view. One of those is a Canadian astronaut named Chris Hadfield. Chris has flown 3 space missions, conducted 2 spacewalks, and spent a total of 6 months in space. On Earth, he's been the chief of International Space Station operations in Houston and chief CAPCOM commander. So that's the person at Mission Control who communicates directly with astronauts who are currently in orbit. Pretty exciting life, don't you think? Well, recently he did an interview with NPR News entitled "Astronaut Chris Hadfield Brings Lessons from Space Down to Earth." And it's from October 30th, 2013. This is one of the things that he said that was quite impressive about looking at Earth from space. He said, "The big pervasive feeling on board, looking at the Earth, is one of tremendous, exquisite privilege that it exists. But I think what everyone would find if they could be in that position, if they could see the whole world every 90 minutes and look down on the places where we do things right and look down where we're doing stupid, brutal things to each other and the inevitable patience of the world that houses us, I think everybody would be reinforced in their faith and maybe readdress the real true tenets of what's good and what gives them strength." Isn't that an interesting perspective? If we could see what he saw, would we think that Earth was really small compared to the vastness of space and realize how trivial some of the things that we worry about really are? It's definitely an interesting thing to consider. We'd like to share with you today another story about a situation where one man did show extreme kindness to another when he was in need. And he was actually traveling, not by space, but actually by airplane in this case. The story was told by President Thomas S. Monson in the First Presidency Christmas Devotional, December 2009, and the talk was entitled "The Spirit of the Season." This is what he said in his own words.
"Many years ago, I read of an experience at Christmas time which took place when thousands of weary travelers were stranded in the congested Atlanta, Georgia airport. An ice storm had seriously delayed air travel as these people were trying to get wherever they most wanted to be for Christmas, most likely home. It happened in December of 1970. As the midnight hour tolled, unhappy passengers clustered around the ticket counters, conferring anxiously with agents whose cheerfulness had long since evaporated. They too wanted to be home. A few people managed to doze in uncomfortable seats. Others gathered at the newsstands to thumb silently through paperback books. If there was a common bond among this diverse throng, it was loneliness, pervasive, inescapable, suffocating loneliness. But airport decorum required that each traveler maintain his invisible barrier against all the others. Better to be lonely than to be involved, which inevitably meant listening to the complaints of gloomy and disheartened fellow travelers. The fact of the matter was that there were more passengers than there were available seats on any of the planes. When an occasional plane managed to break out, more travelers stayed behind than made it aboard. The words "standby," "reservation," "confirmed," and "first class passenger" settled priorities and bespoke money, power, influence, foresight, or the lack thereof. Gate 67 in Atlanta was a microcosm of the whole cavernous airport. Scarcely more than a glass-tin cubicle, it was jammed with travelers hoping to fly to New Orleans, Dallas, and points west. Except for the fortunate few traveling in pairs, there was little conversation at gate 67. A salesman stared absently into space, as if resigned. A young mother cradled an infant in her arms, gently rocking in a vain effort to soothe the soft whimpering. Then there was a man in a finely tailored gray flannel suit who somehow seemed impervious to the collective suffering. There was a certain indifference about his manner. He was absorbed in paperwork, figuring the year-end corporate profits, perhaps. A nerve-frayed traveler sitting nearby, observing this busy man, might have identified him as an Ebenezer Scrooge. Suddenly, the relative silence was broken by a commotion. A young man in military uniform, no more than 19 years old, was in animated conversation with the desk agent. The boy held a low-priority ticket. He pleaded with the agent to help him get to New Orleans so that he could take the bus to the obscure Louisiana village he called home. The agent wearily told him the prospects were poor for the next 24 hours, maybe longer. The boy grew frantic. Immediately after Christmas, his unit was to be sent to Vietnam, where at that time war was raging. And if he didn't make this flight, he might never again spend Christmas at home. Even the businessman looked up from his cryptic computations to show a guarded interest. The agent clearly was moved, even a bit embarrassed, but he could only offer sympathy, not hope. The boy stood at the departure desk, casting anxious looks around the crowded room as if seeking just one friendly face. Finally, the agent announced that the flight was ready for boarding. The travelers who'd been waiting long hours heaved themselves up, gathered their belongings, and shuffled down the small corridor to the waiting aircraft. 20, 30, 100, until there were no more seats. The agent turned to the frantic young soldier and shrugged. Inexplicably, the businessman had lingered behind. Now he stepped forward. "I have a confirmed ticket," he quietly told the agent. "I'd like to give my seat to this young man." The agent stared incredulously. Then he motioned to the soldier. Unable to speak, tears streaming down his face, the boy in olive drab shook hands with the man in the gray flannel suit, who simply murmured, "Good luck. Have a fine Christmas. Good luck." As the plane door closed and the engines began their rising whine, the businessman turned away, clutching his briefcase, and trudged toward the all-night restaurant. No more than a few among the thousands stranded there at the Atlanta airport witnessed the drama at Gate 67. But for those who did, the sullenness, the frustration, the hostility all dissolved into a glow. That act of love and kindness between strangers had brought the spirit of Christmas into their hearts. The lights of the departing plane blinked star-like as the craft moved off into the darkness. The infant slept silently, now in the lap of the young mother. Perhaps another flight would be leaving before many more hours. But those who witnessed the interchange were less impatient. The glow lingered gently, pervasively, in that small glass and plastic stable at Gate 67. My brothers and sisters, finding the real joy of the season comes not in the hurrying and the scurrying to get more done, or in the purchasing of obligatory gifts. Really, joy comes as we show the love and compassion inspired by the Savior of the world, who said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, ye have done it unto me."
That story carries such a powerful message. Oh, and it's kind of a tearjerker when you listen to it. One of the jewels from President Monson in that talk is near the end when he said, "Real joy comes as we show the love and compassion inspired by the Savior of the world. That's the message that we'd like to leave you with today. Thank you for joining us. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to close with today is O Holy Night, and it's featuring Brandon Oberhamer. Thanks again for being with us. Have a great day.